Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday, in our study of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we were talking about the deceit that is used in the world today to make the devil's work seem good and make the Lord's work seem evil. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
I was reading a newspaper article that told of an Israeli attack on a Gaza refugee village. And people were killed and injured, and the one writing it made it sound like it was an unnecessary and unprovoked attack. Then I read the Jewish News Organization report, which also had pictures. And there it reported they got some major terrorists with bombs and other materials that they were preparing to use to carry out terrorist attacks on civilians, women, and children. As a matter of fact, these brave terrorists that they got like to use women and children in their villages as their human shields. But isn't it interesting the media condemned when Israel just defended itself from rockets that were being shot at them? And thought they should not respond because of the children and the women that were there. And yet, many of them wanted to do that. And the ones that did not, they were put there. But these men were doing it so they could just continue to shoot rockets at Israel. Now, I'm saying that not trying to be political. Believe me, I'm not trying to be political. What I'm saying is that deceit is so easy. Had I only read the newspaper article, I might be upset with Israel. But if you read the account in full with pictures, you realize that someone is deceived and is deceiving others. Now notice what 2 Timothy 3:12 and 13 says again. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And so it states the last days, which I think is even before the rapture, is that these people are not only getting more evil, but they are deceiving, and so deceiving, they're deceiving themselves. Now understand, when I say the rapture, I'm talking about the moment when every person who knows Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, those that were buried in the grave and those alive on the face of the earth, shall suddenly be caught up to be with the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us it's in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Now, my friend, that day of rapture, when we're caught up and we meet Him in the clouds and we are ever with the Lord, could happen at any time. There is nothing that needs to be fulfilled in Bible prophecy for that day to take place. I believe the only reason it hasn't taken place yet is simply because of the long suffering of our Lord. Now today we've had many who have read what is referred to as the Left Behind series. 30 years ago it was Hal Lindsey, Salem Kerban, Jack Van Impe, and a host of other prophecy guys with proof positive the rapture is probably going to take place in the next 5 years. Well, the Bible tells us we don't know the day or the hour, and also lets us know that we have a long-suffering God. In Noah's day, it was ready to be destroyed then, but God gave it another 120 years. I don't know how much longer God's going to give us, but I would not try to put a timetable on something He says not to put a timetable on it. But when people try to deceive you, they end up deceiving themselves as well as others. Now today, as we've said, there's a new spin on the mid-tribulation rapture. They're calling it a pre-wrath rapture. And they say that we go through part of the tribulation in which Satan pours out wrath. and then we're taken up before God pours out his part. Well, again, don't be deceived. That day, as verse 2 said, the day of Christ will not come until at least two things happen. And by the way, I want you to notice something. That day shall not come is italicized. Now, what does it mean when it's italicized? It means that the Greek text, the Textus Receptus, from which our King James Bible was translated, did not contain those words in Greek. Now, we hold to the King James Bible as the best Bible because it uses the right text. Most all other versions use other texts, which have made over 42,000 changes. They've even eliminated chapters and books of the Bible while adding others. And basically, they have 47 main sets of so-called manuscripts, manuscript evidence, whereas the Textus Receptus has come in from over 5,400 manuscripts, let alone the Masoretic text of the Old Testament. My point is, the King James Bible does not correct the Greek. Therefore, the phrase, that day shall not come, is not in the Greek. So why would they place it in the King James? Because it is implied by context. Verses 1 and 2 say that the day hasn't come. So this is supplied to keep clarity. In short, it is saying the tribulation does not start until at least two things happen. The first thing that must happen is a falling away. We're told that it must come first. Now, the falling away comes from the Greek word apostasia. We get our word apostasy from it. It is defined as a falling away. The root word actually means a departure from or removal from. Most commentators that you read that are good fundamental Bible commentators define it as a falling away from the truth and from the doctrines of the Word of God. And I believe that that's partially true because other passages of Scriptures give us evidence of that. For an example, that in these days they would not endure sound doctrine but were to preach the Word anyway. And so this has been historically true, that if you let Christianity, true Christianity, get planted somewhere, before too long, defection and departure begins. For example, after the fall of man, when men first started to call upon the name of the Lord, all flesh corrupted their way. After the covenant with Noah, the Baal builders defy heaven and try to build their own mounts up into heaven. After the covenant with Abraham, his seed degenerates in Egypt. After Joshua and those who overlived him die off, the people they planted in Canaan forsake God and serve Baal. Solomon made a covenant after building the temple, and then he soon departs. After the return of the exiles, Ezra and Nehemiah speak of the decay of piety in their land. So it's not strange that when we get to the seven churches of Revelation, they're told that if they don't repent, that they're going to lose their candlestick. In other words, they would be taken away and not any longer be a church. And you go into that area in Asia Minor today, those seven churches aren't there anymore. Today we see that there are churches that were one time fundamental and true to the Word and had standards. And now they are gone with the contemporary. And when I say contemporary, it's mainly contempt for the holiness of God. This then begs the question of what does the falling away mean if it's not speaking of falling away from doctrine and righteousness? Well, this departing speaks of the rapture. And that makes the context clear. The Holy Spirit tells us that before the tribulation is here, there must first come a removing. Now, we still have some good fundamental churches and missions. We have not totally apostatized today. In Luke 18:8, Jesus says, "When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth?" And the implied answer is no. Now, it doesn't mean, will he find anybody saved? It means faith. Faith is the idea of living in obedience to the Word of God. Or will they have departed from that? You see, doctrine is a statement. Faith is living by that statement. And when you live by that statement, then your doctrine is made into faith. But at the end of the tribulation, when he returns, says he's going to have a hard time finding faith on the earth. Now notice the context. Keeping in mind that verses 1 through 12 are all one paragraph in Greek. Verses 6 and 7 say, "He who now letteth will be taken out of the way." While verses 1 and 2 spoke of our gathering together unto him. The removing that would calm their troubled minds and spirits is that the church, the saved, are removed before the day of Christ happens, or the day of the Lord happens. Now, from the earth standpoint, the removal is as a thief in the night, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 2. From heaven's viewpoint, it's a catching up, that is, the rapture. Well, the church has been removed. The religion and churches left behind will quickly apostatize from the truth. That is why in the tribulation, they're put to death for the witness of Jesus and the Word of God. Now, there's much hate of that today. For example, when you tell people that there's only one way of salvation, we don't worship the same God, we don't call him by many names, but there's just really one God, and we're all worshiping the same. No, we don't worship the same God as Muslims and Hindus and others. As a matter of fact, some are involved in Mary worship. And if you're Mary worship, then you're making a God out of her, and she's not God. And therefore, you don't worship her. And so I don't worship the same God as some people call themselves Christian worship. Mary rejoiced in Christ her Savior. She called him her Savior. She even did in Luke chapter 2. She offered a sin offering. Why do you offer a sin offering? Well, Leviticus 12 said that she was supposed to because she's a sinner. Okay? And so she, in obedience to the Word of God, did that as for a cleansing. So we all don't worship the same God. And so when I tell people there's only one way to heaven, there's a lot in this world that get upset. There are even some new evangelical evangelists that will preach and say, well, you know, if a person's been a good this or a good that all their life, they just didn't get to know Jesus, they'll probably go to heaven because they really tried to be good. No, that doctrine is straight out of hell. And I'll tell you where it's not from. It's not from the Bible. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click to the lamp and light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.